You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Is everybody ready to have a good time out there tonight? We're going to have some fun, that's for sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to sing along, clap your hands, stomp your feet whenever you feel like it, and always remember that you're never too old to rock and roll. Welcome to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. This Saturday evening, March 14th, I felt like I'm in a time warp. It's daylight outside, and that is because daylight savings time has hit, don't we know? And we are here now, at least for the first hour, in the light, and we bring the light to the world each and every weekend here on the Liberty News Radio Network. Keith Alexander here with me today. I have had a busy day. My daughter is turning 5 years old this week. Her birthday party was this afternoon, and we have got a busy show for you tonight. We've got a couple of great guests. We're going to play TPC Trivia in the chat room at the Political, that's our website, Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. Join us there now. We're going to be playing a game of TPC Trivia throughout the broadcast. We're going to be giving away prizes and talking about all the news of importance to you. And let's just dive right into it. I mean, how sick can America get?
How much more of a cesspool can it be?
Well, let's find out. Let's play this clip right here at the top of the show. From Michigan, Planet Fitness. Is our clip ready? You know, these days it doesn't matter what your gender actually is, because all that matters is how you identify. Now, how sick and senseless is that? So you've got this thing going on. It's only a minute long. Let's play it right now. And even I grimaced watching this. We'll break it down.
TV 5 News at 5.
The controversy continues tonight after a woman says a local gym allowed a man into the women's locker room. Meantime, the gym says that individual actually identifies as a female. Good evening, I'm Sam Merrill.
And I'm Carrie Sharp. It's a story of gender identity that's now going viral after we first reported it last night at 11.
Tonight, people throughout mid-Michigan are reacting to this. Gino Vici is in our continuous news center with the new developments. Gino.
Well, first, let me say, out of respect to the transgender community, I would like to correct any references made to this person being a male rather than a transgender woman. Now, that being said, much of the reaction to this story has little to do with people's feelings towards the transgender community, but more to do with Planet Fitness's failure to communicate its policy, as well as not having the proper facilities to accommodate everyone involved. Now, let me also say, this is no easy subject to tackle. When getting reaction to this story, most of those we encountered didn't understand the concept of self-identification. And in our story, even last night, the woman we spoke with said a man walked into the woman's locker room. And of course, Yvette Cormier was describing that person's physical appearance. And without verification or having prior knowledge of how one identifies, many women we spoke with today that say they would have reacted the same way.
I would have liked to have been warned before.
I don't blame her for freaking out, because do they know 100% that this is a trans? Do they?
Well, I know that I would feel kind of awkward. You know, I don't know. That might just be me.
Now, back here live, now, we did speak with a very well-known member of the transgender community here in mid-Michigan who says this type of reaction is expected, and there may be a much simpler solution to this very complicated subject. We'll hear from her ahead at 6. Live in the newsroom, Gino Vici, WNEM TV5. Back to you.
All right, Gino, this story is catching on social media.
If I had,
for example, David,
let's go ahead and stop it there.
Disregards women's safety. He thinks it could.
If I had to report in that manner, I would leave media altogether. How disgusting! I mean, that story right there would give George Orwell a headache. It's just beyond anything even he could have imagined. How is that a complicated subject? If a man walks into a women's locker, you know, they used to have a name for people like this. They're called cross-dressers. You walk in, if you have male genitalia, you're a man. Even if you're so sick as to cut it off, you're still a man pretending to be a woman. And did you hear that disgrace of a reporter apologizing for referring to the man as a man, saying he didn't know, you know, he made that assumption based upon the physical appearance, not how he had no prior knowledge of how that individual self-identified.
It's and what difference does that make? That see, this is subjectivity rules. Objectivity has no place in modern American life. The fact that you look like a man, that you have male genitalia, is irrelevant. What really counts is your feelings and your subjective instincts. We're in a really brave new world. There's no doubt about it. We have crossed the line from reality into fantasy land.
Well, I mean, look at that media story. How can anybody, any normal person, a voice of sanity in the mainstream media, we are, and this network is, and I get letters to that effect every single day saying, thank you for being a voice of reason. How could anybody watch that and just not laugh or shake their head in horror even? I mean, this, you know, that person.
And they've got us, they've got the right-thinking people of the world, like this woman, like this announcer on the radio, on the run. They're on the defensive. In other words, unreality trumps reality in the brave new world of 21st century America on everything. You know, the left is in total and complete control of the culture now. There's no doubt about it. When news media outlets are reporting fantasy as fact and fact as fantasy, we've crossed the line. we've gone through the looking glass in Alice in Wonderland.
Hard for even Keith Alexander the Great to come up with words for something this insane. And the woman, the legitimate woman who complained about the cross-dresser, transvestite, whatever they're calling themselves, the woman who complained about this man coming into the women's locker room was expelled from the club, while the club and, of course, all the media apologized and fawned over this pervert. And listen, obviously, either this person needs an exorcism or very intense psychological and psychiatric therapy from a professional who has not been cowed by political correctness. Either way you slice it, these people are sick.
Abnormality is the new normal. That's
why
should
we even have to say that? You know, we're wasting, you know, the first 5 minutes of the show tonight talking about this because nobody else will. This guy, though, this reporter took the cake, apologizing. And how many transgendered people are there in northeastern or western Michigan? I mean, 10? A handful? They're cowing, you know, network affiliate
news?
What
about the tail wagging the dog?
Good God almighty. But that is nothing compared to the even more serious, I can't say it's more heinous, but a situation of political.
So normal women with normal modesty are now to be disregarded in favor of perversion. See, this is the left's calculus now. The more extreme and the more perverted the outlook, the more it is defended by the left. The left defines itself by perversion.
Well, folks, we're just getting started tonight. When we come back, as I was mentioning just a moment ago, we've got a story of political correctness even more disturbed. Well, it's hard to say that after that story, but it certainly had more serious repercussions. And it took place at Oklahoma University. You probably know what I'm talking about if you tuned in the news this week. We're going to have Sean Bergen, former television news reporter, come on with us to talk about two shootings, the shootings of two police officers in Ferguson, Missouri. That paled in comparison to a couple of drunk college kids saying a naughty word. That's what the media is really concerned about. We're going to talk about that story next.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Class, who wants to pay less taxes and enjoy the same tax deductions that the rich take? At the Get Prepared Expo, I'll show you how. This is something I learned 40 years ago, and I'm delighted to teach you. What if you lose your job or your company shuts down? The plan is for you to be financially independent by starting your own business. Any business, whatever you like to do. I haven't had a job since the 1980s. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th, 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 at the door. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. That's how long it takes to die. At the Get Prepared Expo, we'll have pallets of Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems at the lowest prices in the country. Berkey and ProPure water filtration systems, and we'll have the lowest prices in the country on top-of-the-line Mountain House freeze-dried food with a 35-year shelf life. 150 seminars and exhibits, $8 online, $10 a day at the door. Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th at the Get Prepared Expo. Cowan Civic Center, Lebanon, Missouri. GetPreparedExpo.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we're back and we're just getting started and we're building up a full head of steam. I'm your host, James Edwards, Keith Alexander. In with me for the first hour and a half tonight. We've got a special show for you, I think. We're going to cover some things and, well, we'll not only have some fun, but we're going to get personal and, well, you'll see. You'll see. But before we do that, and before we get to Sean Bergen, the first of our two guests this evening, let's get back to the news of the day. Well, according to the establishment media, the biggest news story in the world this week were a couple of drunk fraternity students saying the N-word. All right, now, was it tacky? Yes. Should they have said it? No. But do they deserve to have their lives ruined as a result of childish behavior? Absolutely not. Let's play this clip, and then Keith and I are going to break it down.
The president of the University of Oklahoma had strong words for members of a fraternity who participated in a racist chant caught on video.
These people have acted in a way that is absolutely reprehensible and disgraceful. We cannot put up with it. As I said, they shouldn't even be allowed to call themselves sinners. They're not real sinners. Real sinners are not racists and bigots.
David Boren joined students who gathered in the pre-dawn hours.
This has broken my heart that this could happen on our campus. We have such a strong community. People respect each other. This is not representative of our students, and I know our students don't want it. Let it look like it represents our students.
Just hours earlier, Sigma Alpha Epsilon said an investigation confirmed the contents of the online video and announced the local chapter would close. The video shows several people chanting a racial slur and indicating blacks would never be admitted to the fraternity. The chant also references lynching.
You hear a lot of, you know, stuff here at the university about, you know, racial tension and things like that, but to see the video was eye-opening for sure.
We're deeply outraged and disturbed by the incidents that took place. I don't think we were at all surprised by it. I believe it kind of shows the social climate that we as African-American students are, you know, attending school in.
A midday rally is planned on campus. Matt Friedman, Associated Press.
All right.
once again, we see the media giving national news coverage, now even international, to something that should have never been a story at all. Kids behaving foolishly and vulgar at college is hardly comparable to real-life race problems. And I'm talking about the dozens of black-on-white rapes and murders that happen every single day in this country, none of them getting any sort of media publicity. And here's the thing, Keith. This university, you heard that pathetic and insincere response from the university president, who, by the way, was a member of Skull and Bones, a racially segregated organization that didn't allow blacks in at the time he was there. But you heard, you know, he's tough on racism, but he's soft on crime. You have no shortage of black football players. This has been verified. This is a fact. No shortage of black football players on the University of Oklahoma football team currently that have been arrested for burglary, assault, sexual assault, battery. And you know what the university president said? You know what the board of trustees said? Oh, well, kids, those are kids just making decisions, bad decisions, but they deserve a second chance. They deserve a second chance, but these kids that said the N-word, which is not a crime, by the way, we might not use it, but it's not a crime. They were expelled instantly, the frat house torn down. But hey, at least they didn't rape anybody, because that, you know, that would have been something that could, if they'd have raped somebody, I guess that would have been better.
Well, it shows you the state of race relations in America today and just how completely the left dominates our culture now. If you could believe that we have something like this commanding the airwaves, commanding the news, this is the number one news story over the past 48 hours, when we have probably 100 black-on-white rapes per day. We have over 36,000 a year, typically. 36,500 would be 100 a day. That doesn't even mention, that doesn't even merit a mention. But on the other hand, white fraternity boys saying the N-word, when the N-word is said routinely by black rappers, black people in everyday life, and it, in fact, there have been million-dollar careers launched almost exclusively on the strategic use of the N-word in the rap music industry, and these kids hear it, they listen to it, they've been desensitized to it probably, but this shows you the upside-down world we're living in. This is Alice in Wonderland, folks. We are, you know, we've gone down the trunk of the tree, you know, into the hole. We've gone down the rabbit hole, and we're in a brave new world where rape, murder doesn't matter. Sexual assault by black athletes doesn't matter. Rapes by black athletes don't matter. Other crimes, strong-arm, real felonies, grade 1 and 2 felonies don't matter, but... And they don't even hold a candle to the seriousness that we are all supposed to give a story about a bunch of drunken college boys using the N-word.
And, you know,
because they're white.
And
that's what it's for. It's because they're white. If they were black, again, differential justice, racial discrimination against white people.
Well,
mark
Keith,
it down.
You said it. And what I'm talking about these felonious thugs on the University of Oklahoma football team, that's not hyperbole. This has been documented by American Renaissance, in fact, in several other publications that I've seen, but I believe a Fox News reporter or a Fox Sports reporter for Fox Sports brought out the fact that, hey, you know, there's people on this team, currently black athletes on this team, that have committed serious crimes, and the university's response was, hey, they're kids, they make mistakes, let's give them a second chance. Okay.
Boys will be boys, right?
That's fine. If you believe that when it comes to crime, legitimate crime, but saying the N-word, when you're drunk, it's just sick. And here's the thing. Again, not illegal. Crude, yes. Something we would advise against, yes, but not a crime. Constitutional free speech. I mean, where do we draw the line? Is free speech free, or is there certain words don't?
This is obviously a free speech issue, and it should have been dropped with that. And the fact that it's not only tolerated but rewarded in American culture today, you have multimillionaire rappers that have basically built their reputation on the use of the N-word. So the racial discrimination is there, right, you know, loud and clear for everybody to see. You see, if a white person does something, it's a crime. It's a terrible sin. It is beyond line. In fact, this crazy nut, David Boren, the president of the Oklahoma University, said they don't even rise to the dignity of being sinners. They're apparently cast into the outer darkness completely because they are the worst thing in the world, racist.
Well, if they had only raped someone, or you know, there's one documentation of a black
something
football
that we could forgive them for.
A black football player on the University of Oklahoma went into a bar and cold cocked a female, punched her in the face. Hey, he deserves a second chance. If they'd only done that, but my God, saying the N-word.
Yeah,
you know, here's the thing. The debate team at Towson University, we've got footage of this at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. They won the National College Debate Championship.
Against
Oklahoma University. Thank you, Keith. A very key point there. Towson defeated Oklahoma. Towson is their debaters were a group of black women. All they did, they dared to exercise their constitutional free speech by uttering the N-word over and over again, and they won the debate against Oklahoma, these blacks, for saying nothing but the N-word.
The worst sin for white people is the highest level of academic achievement,
courage,
apparently.
Courageous.
Courage and everything good.
You watch these women and they're stuttering.
For black people.
It's like they have, you know, advanced level of Tourette's or something, but they won it. It's just, listen, and these kids that did that are getting their lives threatened. I think one of the kids came from Dallas, Texas because of all the publicity. His parents' home, they've had to vacate their home because of all the threats and the protesters there for saying a word. Listen, folks, that's sick. That is sick.
And saying a word for which black entertainers are lionized.
Well, hey, that's making the news. Not the two cops that got
not
shot
only
on Ferguson.
It's making the news, it's driving the news.
We're going to talk about the cop that got shot. How about that when we come back?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, I know it's daylight savings time has ended or started. I can't ever remember which. But if you're listening online tonight and not still out working in the yard, join us in the online chat being sponsored by the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. Don't be shy. Join us. We haven't quite reached our capacity yet. And we'll see you there and talk to you there. Now, that being said, we are always honored to welcome back our good friend, Sean Bergen, a veteran television news reporter for a long, long time. He is our go-to guy on crime-related issues, especially when it's related to cops. And so basically how the next couple of segments are going to work is I'm going to turn it over to Scoop, who has been doing the research on the topic at hand, and we'll let Scoop and Sean have at it. Keith will chime in with a couple of questions, and we'll just see what we get done. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James, Keith, and the rest of the Suspool family. Right now I'm at the Tyson's Corner Mall, so if you can't hear me, I'll just speak louder. But unfortunately, we have to have Sean Bergen back on again, not because we don't want him on, but we have to talk about the war on cops. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have another war on the police. Sean, why don't you take it away and tell us what happened starting last week in Philadelphia?
Well, we've had a number of police officers shot just here within the last week, beginning with two cops out in Ferguson, Missouri, who were targeted by a gunman he was in with a group of protesters about 125 yards away from the police station. He managed to shoot one officer in the face and one on the shoulder. Both of those officers survived, thankfully. These protests erupted, of course, after the Justice Department, Eric Holder's Justice Department, released a scathing report accusing the Ferguson police of widespread and institutionalized racism. They were accused of violating people's constitutional rights. They were accused of brutality, and that led, of course, to the resignation of Ferguson Police Chief Thomas Jackson just a few hours after he resigned. You would think at this point that the protesters and, this general renter riot that you find in the vicinity of Al Sharpton and Eric Holder and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, that they would take it as a win that the police chief actually resigned his position. But no, that wasn't enough. They had to stage a protest, of course, and then somebody decided to open fire on the cops, hitting two officers, one in the face, one in the shoulder. Both of those officers thankfully survived. Very, very close call. Could have been a lot worse. We could really have had a repeat of what we saw in New York a few months ago with the executions of Officer Ramos and Lou. Now, just hours after these officers were shot in Ferguson, there was an officer shot here, closer to where I am here in New York, out in Suffolk County on Long Island. Officer Mark Collins, a 12-year veteran, was shot in the neck and the hip during a routine traffic stop. He was shot by one guy in a car that contained four people, and he was briefly put into a medically induced coma. And I just got off the phone minutes ago, actually, with the public information officer from the Suffolk Police, who says, thankfully, Mark Collins is going to be released from the hospital. He was released from the hospital. Tomorrow he'll be released and headed home, where he'll continue with his recovery. But this is a very, very disturbing trend we've seen across the country. It seems like every weekend we're coming across another cop shot. Back on March 5th, Officer Robert Wilson was shot in Philadelphia. He did not survive his gunshot wounds. And, you got to wonder how much of this is driven by the American left and their willingness to gin up a crowd. I may lay some of the blame here at the feet of the liberal news media, whenever they can, they blame these shootings on Republicans, like we saw with Sarah Palin after the shooting at Gabrielle Giffords. But they don't really want to look at the cause and effect when it comes from their fellow travelers on the American left. A lot of people looking at this Ferguson incident saying that it was really brought on by this report that was released by Eric Holder, that it exacerbates racial tensions. It infuriates people, and Sheriff Clark in Milwaukee is chief among those critics of the Holder administration or the Holder Justice Department and the Obama administration, and they're seemingly anti-cop mentality.
Well, Sean, this is Keith Alexander. I think the footprints lead all the way to the White House. I think that the Obama administration and President Obama and his nominee and right-hand man and closest confidant, Eric Holder, are as responsible as anyone for this.
Well, these are men who, by and large, have built their careers by weaponizing racism. They've taken racism now, and they just can't leave it alone. You would think that in this day and age, when we actually elect an African-American president and then re-elect him, based mostly upon his skin color, that you could lay these arguments to rest. I thought, really, that was going to be the end of this, institutionalized racism argument. But these guys have taken it as a rallying cry. It's a way for them to divide people, and it's a way for them to maintain their power.
Well, it's a naive notion to think that they'll ever stop using the race card, Sean, because the race card is a debit card that never runs out of money. Every time you swipe it, you get paid off. That's what Al Sharpton has found out. That's what Jesse Jackson has found out. That's what the Obama administration and Eric Holder have found. Whenever you want to increase interest in what you're doing, whenever you want to put your political enemies at a disadvantage or on the defensive, play the race card.
And, Sean, let me ask you this. The seemingly lack of comparable, and I'm going to turn it back over to Scoop, but the lack of comparable media coverage that the shootings of the two officers in Ferguson this week have received compared to what happened at the University of Oklahoma is just jaw-dropping. But I'm going to ask this question as if I haven't been following the story because, frankly, I haven't followed it as closely as I should. But was there a protest or a community gathering of the local denizens there in Ferguson in reaction to a report that basically said that Darren Wilson, there was no evidence of racism in his past and that the, Ferguson Police Department, after 8 years, they really didn't come up with anything to justify all of this savagery that they had been subjected to? And what happened? So there was a gathering of angry, blacks, and they shot cops. I mean, break it down for someone who doesn't know.
Okay. Well, essentially what happened was that the Eric Holder Justice Department gave a scathing report accusing the Ferguson police of widespread and institutionalized racist police practices.
Oh, so it was the exact opposite than what I said. They came
The thing is, though, James, the reason they came out with that report was because they had to counteract the fact that the Eric Holder Department of Justice had not found grounds to prosecute the officer. So consequently, they had to counterweight that.
To kind of save face in light of the fact that Darren Wilson was completely vindicated of any wrongdoing, that he did not violate Mike Brown's civil rights or anybody else's civil rights for that matter. And then after he was cleared, they came out with a report that said, well, maybe not in Darren Wilson's case, but the department is definitely racist. I mean, that was basically the bottom line of their report. And so once that happened, then the Ferguson police chief resigned his position, and then the protest erupted outside the police headquarters. You would think that those people would say, well, there's nothing to protest now. We finally got the head of the police chief on a strike here, and we've won. But they can't even take that as a victory. They've got to go out and stage a protest anyway. And you got to wonder, are they doing this just because there's nothing else for them to do?
Well, they want blood, and they've gotten blood now.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, when you want to talk about cause and effect, those officers in Ferguson never would have been shot if there wasn't a protest there to give this gunman cover to take aim with a long rifle from 125 yards away, presumably. I mean, I think that's what the cops are operating. They're operating under that assumption in their investigation into this matter, that it would have to be a long rifle to have the, one guy was shot in the face, the other was shot in the shoulder, which would indicate that it wasn't just some guy spraying wildly with a handgun, hoping he could hit somebody. These guys were targeted, and fairly accurately.
And furthermore, I wonder how many of those protesters were in the know. They were basically providing cover for the shooter. The police knew they couldn't go firing after the shooter because then they would have hit one of these protesters and all hell would have broken loose.
Well, you know, this is quite often the case in these shootings. I mean, I as a crime reporter in places like Newark and Patterson and Elizabeth, New Jersey, where you have these shootings happen all the time out in the middle of the public and usually with large numbers of people around. If you talk to the eyewitnesses, they'll say, well, this happened when we were leaving the club or we were all out here having a barbecue and then the gunshots rang out. And then you ask them, well, did anybody see the shooter? And can you get a description of the shooter? Nobody in the crowd willing to give police or prosecutors any information to go on to track down this person so that,
As the defense lawyers say, nobody talks, everybody walks. We'll be back with more of this after these words from our sponsor.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It's just shocking to see the amount of lavish media attention giving given to the shooting of Michael Brown in self-defense by Officer Darren Wilson versus that of two blatant criminal acts, the shootings of these two police officers by the local black community there in Ferguson. Now, Scoop Stanton had prepared for this segment, and it sounded in the first segment that Scoop had been driving a dump truck through a nitroglycerin plant, as they say in one of the Chevy Chase movies. But well, I think we've cut down to that background noise, and you know, certainly we want to give Scoop all the time in the world because he's the one who prepped for this, and we want to turn it over to him. And Sean Bergen, of course, our very favorite guest. Scoop, back to you.
Okay, I apologize, listeners, to the background noise. Again, I'm at the Tyson's Corner Mall, third floor. There's a play area, and it is total pandemonium. this is another report for a different time. But, Sean, let's go back to Ferguson.
I thought you were in Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. Sean, let's go back to Ferguson. Why would the Justice Department say that there's a racism in Ferguson amongst the police department and the courts when Ferguson is a majority black?
Well, I think you're referring to the statistics that the Justice Department report came out with, showing that black people were disproportionately stopped for arrests. They were stopped and questioned more frequently, and they said that right there, they were stopped in numbers that were disproportionate to white people. Well, Ferguson is primarily black, and when you have cops out on the streets, they're going to go where the crime rate and the crime is being committed disproportionately by black folks. I mean, that's just the way the numbers play out. I mean, we saw Rudy Giuliani, the former New York mayor, go through this here just a few months back, saying, you got to put the cops where the crime is. Now, when you look at simple statistics like this, the fact that young black men between the ages of 18 and 49 make up 4% of the American population, yet they are responsible for 53% of the homicides. If you want to cut down on black murder, then you need to go where the black crime is being committed, and most of this is black-on-black crime. In New York back in 2013, 90% of the homicide victims in the city were African-Americans who were shot by other African-Americans. And so, for that reason, you're going to be stopping and questioning and frisking and arresting black folks, and especially young black men, at rates that are disproportionate to the rest of the population. That's just the way it is. And when you begin to unpack these numbers, see the logic and the reason there. Now, look, there's no doubt that in that report they also included instances where, police acted with a very heavy hand. Some of them were using tasers when they didn't need to be. They did present a number of examples of, undue force. But to paint the entire department as being a racist police department and to say that it's systemic and that it's widespread and that it's institutionalized, in the view of many folks, they think that's unwarranted, really, in that case.
Well, what are you supposed to do, Sean, if you are confronted with a person that doesn't want to be arrested and resists arrest by attacking the officer? It would seem that they would be welcoming the use of tasers rather than deadly force. That's why they invented tasers. But apparently you're in a lose-lose situation. It doesn't matter what the cops do. They're going to be accused of racism. If a black person suffers in some way and doesn't like it, I've never seen any of these black perps come up and say, "I got what I deserved." And that's just one of the things that you'll never hear. And this very week, we had a very outstanding, black-on-black crime situation. A black federal marshal in Louisiana was trying to arrest a black perpetrator and was shot and killed by him. Of course, the silence is deafening about that murder. Black-on-black crime isn't a story. Black-on-white crime isn't a story. White-on-black crime, the rarest, is a story. It's kind of like dog bites man, no story. Man bites dog, that's a big news story, apparently. At least that's the least pernicious explanation I can come up with for what's going on. I think the real answer is there's an anti-white bias in the news media and in our culture generally now that permeates just about everything.
Well, yeah, look, many of these folks are running around with, and you know, this is the big problem that I had while I was working for the news media, was the fact that they hold police officers, regardless of their race, to an impossible standard. These cops are held to an impossible standard and then crucified when they fail to meet those standards. And when they get, and that fits their mental, psychological template, is that the police are inherently bad. For most liberals, and the liberals I worked with in the news media, that's how they view the cops. There's nothing more than a bunch of grown-up bullies who've been granted guns and badges and a license, you know, to go out and beat people up, that they oppress. They're racist thugs who oppress minority communities through a combination of corruption and brutality. And any time they can find facts that they can shoehorn into that narrative, then they are going to run with it. And they are going to run that story into the ground. You know, I mean, through their emphasis and their repetition, that's all you hear. I mean, you know, when you look at how all this started in Ferguson with the whole hands up, don't shoot narrative, that was a complete lie. And they knew it very early on, you know, as the information began to leak out that Michael Brown was no angel, that he was actually, you know, this big hulking thug who was out there, you know, committing crime. You know, when
throttling some poor little Asian shopkeeper that was probably 5 feet tall and didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. But see, Scoop, give us your take on this. What's going on up there?
Well, was saying what's going on is that the Justice Department wants to make an example out of primarily, preferably, white police officers. Now, if we go back to Philadelphia, Officer Wilson was black. His perpetrators were black. Well, his killers were black. And we've heard nothing from the mainstream media, the Justice Department, nothing. No Al Sharpton, no Jesse Jackson, nobody except us, Fox in Philadelphia, and Dan Aykroyd. Now, after Dan Aykroyd, he's putting up matching funds for the Officer Robert Wilson Fund. But, again, you don't see the Justice Department going to Philadelphia, even though it's an open and shut case. Now,
well, you don't see the Black Lives Matter crowd going to Philadelphia either. And what we've come to realize about the Black Lives Matter is that it's only certain black lives that matter. When you've got an upstanding law enforcement officer who happens to be black and he's gunned down in cold blood, his life doesn't really matter quite as much because, the execution of Officer Wilson in Philadelphia was really treated as a local crime story. Whereas Mike Brown, on the other hand, who gave every indication that he was an aspiring young gangbanger, he's turned into like a national martyr. You know, I mean, the disparity.
Well, what about that? What about that black guy? What about the black federal marshal in Mississippi that was killed by the black perp in Louisiana? It's the same story. Let's just tell the emperor he has no clothes. It's racial. It's anti-white racism is what is driving the news media today. I hate to put it just that bluntly, but I'm afraid that, when you hit the nail on the head, you drive it straight. That's exactly what is animating everything.
Scoop, back to you.
Well, here's something else. The ADL, SPLC, left-wing media, MoveOn.org, they call us the racists. Yet, everybody on this show has supported Officer Darren Wilson as much as we supported Officer Santiago, Officer Liu, Officer Ramos, and Officer Wilson. I don't see those previous organizations I mentioned offer anything to the families of those officers. I also do not see mainstream media or left-wing media, which is one and the same, offer an apology to Mr. Wilson. Sean, have you seen anything, any apologies offered to Darren Wilson?
Well, you know, one thing about being in the news media or to be in the news media means never having to say you're sorry, because you'll never, ever hear that. And, when criticism is beginning to be turned upon these guys, or when you take questions and you throw them back at these news anchors, you see they get you don't get a very good response from these folks. They don't like to be criticized. They don't like to be questioned. They're the ones who stand in judgment of everybody else. And if you deviate from their liberal ideology and their liberal worldview, then that's the first thing that comes out of their mouth is the R word. And you're either a racist or you're a sexist or you're a homophobe or, you know, you're hateful in some way. You know, and that's just the way they operate.
You're exactly right, Sean. And to follow up with what Scoop was saying, you know, again, David A. Clark, you mentioned him a minute ago, Sean. Great guy up in Milwaukee, I believe it is. Support him 100%. I mean, you know, what he's doing in terms of law enforcement and calling out some of the things and issues he's called out. Scoop, final question to you, and we're going to run out of time.
What's next for the law enforcement community under the Obama administration? Because it seems like the gunslingers, they need to put their hands up or the government will shoot.
Is that a question for me?
I believe so, Sean. You got about 10 seconds to answer it.
Who knows what lies ahead? I mean, and look, it doesn't look very good right now, and I'm not very hopeful, and I think it's going to really take a change of administration for us to begin really to turn things around here in America.
But don't go away.
Sean, it's always great to have you. Thank you so much for your time. And Scoop, thank you, my friend, for setting this up tonight. Always great to be with Sean Berger. We'll be back with the second hour right after this.